We want to thank you for joining our Men's Summit podcast today. We hope that this encourages and challenges you in every area of your life. In this episode, Pastor Matthew Hernandez shares a message on the Sabbath. Matthew is the next-gen pastor at Gateway South Lake Campus. Let's listen in.
What's up, everyone? My name is Matthew Hernandez. I'm super excited to be with you guys this morning, this afternoon, this evening, wherever you guys find yourself listening to this podcast. My Twitter bio says I'm a Californian that has moved to Texas. So that's a little bit about me. I've got three kids. I've been married for going on 11 years now. And for the next few moments, for the next few episodes, I want to talk to you on something that's kind of foreign to us in Western culture. And so we titled this podcast, this collection of talks, The Art of the Sabbath, because I really do believe it's an art. I believe it's a spiritual discipline, and it's a practice that I think we all need in our lives. Not only do I think we need this in all of our lives, but it's a commandment that God gives us in Scripture. You know, for these collection of talks, I'm not here to teach you about anything that I've learned, rather something that I'm continuing to learn. And I invite you to learn with me. I'm by no means a Sabbath expert, but rather someone who stepped into this rhythm and practice about 5 years ago, and my life hasn't been the same since. Before I joined staff at Gateway Church, I was working at another church in the area. We had four campuses, and by all metrics that we view ministry through, or the lens of which we view ministry through, and the metrics that we grade ourselves in, I was successful. I was in charge of several different ministries and was doing pretty well for myself. I was traveling and speaking on the different areas of expertise, quote unquote, that I had in these ministries, and I was doing really well. However, I remember one time my wife had come to me and said, after I'd got home from work, and she said, "I feel like all the grace and patience wears out by the time you get home, that everything is, you don't have anything left for us." She was talking about her and my two kids that I had at the time. And you would think that that would have made me wake up. You would think that that was kind of a punch in the face. But really, I kind of just stuffed it down and thought, okay, I just need more grace at home. I need more grace at home. Not understanding the pace that I was living was an unhealthy pace, that it was doing damage to my family and it was doing damage to my soul. The rude awakening came when my wife and I got into an argument, and I can't even remember what it was about in this moment, to be honest. But if I can be vulnerable with you, it's an argument that I'll never forget because of what happened afterwards. Like I said, I don't remember the details, but I remember her picking up my two kids, getting into her car, and leaving because she couldn't even be in the same room as me. It wasn't as if she was saying she was going to leave me and our marriage was over. It was simply her saying, "I can't even look at you right now," and her getting in the car and driving away because she needed a break. She needed a space, and she needed to be away from me because of the damage that I was doing, not only to my own soul, but the damage I was doing to my family. And I remember that day going into my cabinet and pouring myself a beverage. And going into my room, closing and locking the door, and going into my bathroom and closing and locking the door. And sitting on my bathroom floor with tears streaming down my face. And I'm sitting on this bathroom floor. It's gross because I hadn't mopped it in forever. I'm looking at my sink, and it's got just hair from three shaves ago on my face that had just piled up, which, pro tip to you guys out there, do your wives a favor and wash your hair down the sink because no lady likes that. It was a very just musky in my bathroom because our bathroom at that time had poor ventilation and I'd showered earlier. And I just sat there with this dirty bathroom, my dirty clothes are piling over, and that bathroom was a reflection of my soul. And I'm sitting there as my wife had just slept with my two kids, and I'm drinking a vodka Sprite, and it's 10 a.m. in the morning. And I remember asking myself, how did I get here? How did I get to this place? There's these moments in movies, some of you may be familiar with it, where you see people go into a bathroom where they go in front of a mirror and they splash water in their face and they look at themselves in this deep contemplative stare as they question the existence of life. I don't know if anyone actually does that in real life, but because I'm a dramatic person, I wanted to do that as well. And so I remember standing in front of my bathroom mirror, splashing water on my face and questioning the existence of my life at that moment of how did I allow myself to get here? Everyone at work, everyone at the church that I had belonged to saw me as successful. The ministry that I was a part of was bearing fruit, and they always talk about healthy things grow. Well, the ministry I was part of was growing. But here's the problem, friends, that if your ministry is bearing fruit and your family is starving, there's something wrong. And my family was starving. It was then that I decided to reach out for help. It was then that I decided to bring some close friends in what was going on in my life and what was going on with my relationship at home. I flew out to California to see a friend of mine. And as we kind of went through the details of my life and how I had gotten to that point, I remember he looked at me and the two things that he had said for me was one, was that in that moment to not beat myself up, that I needed to have grace for myself. And that was his encouragement. But then the demand that he gave me, because he's a good friend, is he said, you need a Sabbath in your life. Wayne Mueller, in his book, The Sabbath, he says, a successful, quote unquote, life has become a violent enterprise. We make war on our own bodies, pushing them beyond their limits. War on our children, because we cannot find enough time to be with them when they are hurt and afraid and need our company. War on our spirit, because we are too preoccupied to listen to the quiet voices that seek to nourish and refresh us. War on our communities, because we are fearfully protecting what we have and do not feel safe enough to be generous. War on the earth, because we cannot take the time to place our feet on the ground and allow it to feed us, to taste its blessing, and to give thanks. This is where I had found myself. This is the life that many of us, majority of us, find ourselves living. Western culture always tells us that we need to do more and that we need to be more. And so we get caught up in this race. And so I had to find myself taking a step back and saying, okay, if my friends are telling me I need a Sabbath, I need to look into exactly what this is, that it's not just a commandment in the Bible, but what exactly does it look like for me in my life today? So first, what is a Sabbath? What is the Sabbath? Sabbath comes from the Hebrew word Shabbat. And Shabbat, what this means is to cease, to literally stop, to stop what you're doing, to stop what you're doing and rest, to stop what you're doing in worship. Sabbath is a day that is built for rest and worship. Abram Heschel, in his book, The Sabbath, he says this, the meaning of the Sabbath is to celebrate time rather than space. 6 days a week, we live under the tyranny of things of space. On the Sabbath, we try to become attuned. We try to become attuned to holiness and time. It's a day in which we are called upon to share what is eternal in time, to turn from the results of creation to the mystery of creation, from the world of creation to the creation of the world. In other words, I just like to say it like this, to put it in normal terms for people like myself. Sabbath is a day to remind ourselves that there is a God and I'm not him. See, we get the Sabbath from the Ten Commandments that God gave to Moses and with the commandment that says, remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. But before the Exodus story, before that even happened, the God of the universe worked this day of Sabbath, this day of rest, this day of worship, this day for humanity to be still into the very fabric of the existence of our being and into the rhythm of this world. We talk about it in scripture in the very beginning of the Bible, Genesis, the very beginning of the book, chapter one, the very first chapter of the scriptures that we read. It says this, I'm gonna read a little scripture to you, so bear with me. It says this in Genesis 1, verse 20. And God said, let the water teem with living creatures and let birds fly above the earth across the vault of the sky. So God created the great creatures of the sea and every living thing with which the water teems and that moves about in it, according to their kinds and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them and said, be fruitful and increase in number and fill the water in the seas and let the birds increase on earth. And there was evening and there was morning in the fifth day. Verse 24 says this, stay with me. And God said, let the land produce living creatures according to their kind, the livestock, the creatures that move along the ground, and the wild animals, each according to its kind. And it was so. God made the wild animals according to their kinds, the livestock according to their kinds, and all creatures that move along the ground according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals and all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind as in our image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it, rule over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, and over every living creature that moves on to the ground. I'm going to go down. It says now, verse 31, God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening and morning the sixth day. Chapter 2, thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he'd been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all of his work. Then God blessed the seventh day. He made it holy because on it, he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. You know, sometimes we read the scripture and we read a story and we're like, okay, I know this story. And we read it time and time again. And we don't catch these little subtle hints that are right there in scripture. Sometimes we can be so familiar with the scriptures that we become unfamiliar with scripture. But I want you to catch this. In chapter 2, verse 3, it said, God blessed the seventh day and he made it holy because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. God rested. I want you to let that sink in for a moment. God, he rested. You may be saying, listen, Matthew, you don't understand my life. You don't understand what I have on my plate, the demands on my schedule, the work-life balance that I'm trying to find here, my kids' sports schedule, the schedule I have at work, all these demands, all these deadlines that I have, you don't understand. God rested, guys. God rested. He didn't rest because he was tired. Listen to me. He rested because he was showing us a new way to be human, a better way to be human, letting us know that this is the way to live life, that on 6 days we work, but on the seventh day we rest. So the deadlines, the demands on that day, we rest. Again, God wasn't resting because he was tired. He was resting for me and he was resting for you to show us a better way to do this thing called life. I get told this all the time, especially in ministry, is this is a lie that we can tell ourselves. And maybe it's a lie you may tell yourself. Well, the devil never rests. You know, scripture talks about how he roams around like a roaring lion. So if he never rests, then why should we? We've got work to do. We've got a kingdom to advance. We've got more people to save. I would challenge you with this. The devil doesn't win. So why on earth would we model our life after somebody that we know loses in the end? This day and this rhythm, it matters to me. It matters to me deeply. And I get incredibly passionate about when I talk about it because years ago, I was out of step with this rhythm and I was out of step with this practice. And I'm telling you, friends, it almost cost me my marriage. And I would even go as far as to say it almost cost me my life. Me sitting on a bathroom floor drinking vodka Sprite at 10 a.m. is no way to live life. Well, my wife has left with my kids because she couldn't even be in the same room as me. Because I was living an unhealthy pace. And so I was irritable. I was short. I was unhealthy with my lifestyle and my family suffered the consequences. You know, it's so funny because we have these 10 commandments and, if I were to break most of those commandments, the chances are at a church I would probably get fired. If I was to commit adultery, if I was to murder, if I had made a habit of being a liar, if I was doing these things, chances are that I would be sat down with church and church leadership because this is no way to live a life. I'm breaking these commandments. You hear me here? But in most churches, I'm so grateful that I work at a church like Gateway Church where this isn't the case here, but it's been my experience that in most churches, if I forsake the Sabbath, the chances are is I'd get a raise because I hustle, because I grind, because I'm a quote unquote hard worker. which those two words, hustle and grind, are just, they're curse words in my vocabulary because I feel like they lead to unhealth. I think what we get at when we talk about a healthy hustle or a healthy grind is just to really kind of be a decent human and not be lazy. But those words, they drive me crazy. That's my soapbox. I'll get off of it. But the chances are in most churches, I'd get a raise because I'm a hard worker. That just wasn't the case for me several years ago. It's not a way that I wanted to live my life. The bad news is that was the life that I had created for myself. But the good news is I get to remake it from the inside out with the help of accountability and with the help of God walking alongside of me. I've experienced burnout like that before. I've experienced burnout, but never quite like that. Some of you may have experienced burnout as well. Statistics show that many of you have experienced burnout before, that many of you are actually living in burnout right now. That's a problem, my friends. And I believe the answer to this problem is the discipline and the practice of Sabbath. Matthew 11, Jesus says, he says, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." I don't know about you, but when I hear that, that we will find rest for our souls, that speaks to me. Even now, even as I'm in this rhythm of Sabbath, it speaks to me because that's what we all want. Deep in our bones, in this hurried culture that we live in 2019, this is what we long for. We long for the rest for our souls. We long for the peace that only Jesus can bring. And it happens to us when we follow his way, when we follow the life that he has created for us. But I'm telling you this, friends, we can't have the life of Jesus without adopting the lifestyle of Jesus. And he's modeled already for us what this looks like in our life, the answer to this problem that many of us are dealing with today. So how is another question that I get a lot. Okay, so this Sabbath thing, how? Well, before we start with the how, I want to bring us back to the story of Exodus. In Exodus 20, we have this Exodus story where God gave Moses the Ten Commandments, and he gives them the commandments. And the reason I believe he writes in, "Remember the Sabbath and keep it holy," is because we have to remember where the Israelites were at in this moment. They have just been freed from Pharaoh. They've been freed from the Egyptians. They were slaves to the Egyptians. That their quota and what they had to do is they had to make bricks day in and day out. They had to make bricks to continue to build Pharaoh's kingdom every single day. Bricks, bricks, bricks. There was a quota that they had to meet with these bricks, bricks, bricks. And so they didn't understand this day of rest because when you're a slave, there is no rest. And they were slaves in Egypt, and now they were set free, and God is showing them a new way to live life, that there is no more bricks to one day a week to take a rest from their work so that their souls can rest. Take one day a week to remind them that they're human beings, not human doings. Do you hear that? That's not just a discipline for the Israelites that just got freed from Pharaoh that are no longer slaves. This is a discipline and a tool for us, to you men, to remind yourself that you are a human being and not a human doing. See, in Egypt, there was no rhythm to this life. They desperately needed a rhythm. And so God is telling them how to step into the rhythms that he has created for them. And God yet is also inviting me and inviting you into this same rhythm as well. No more bricks. Take one day a week, no more bricks. So my question for you, as you're listening in your car or you're listening in your living room or you're at the gym, wherever you find yourself, what's your brick? Is it the endless amount of emails? Is it the endless amount of meetings? Is it laundry? Is it dishes? Is it school? Is it car lines? Is it taking your kids to their different sports practices or games, or you yourself going to practice or games, whatever it may be, whatever list you have that makes you feel like you just have to do more, the thing that you have to do, but yet it doesn't give anything back to you. What is your brick? The lie that tells you that you are only what you produce. I want to remind you, friends, that you are not what you produce. That's not who you are. That's not your identity. It's not who God has called you to be as a son, as a man. That's not who God has called you to be. See, for the Israelites, it was one thing for them to get out of Egypt. It was another thing to get Egypt out of them. Sabbath was a day to remind themselves that they were no longer in Egypt and they had to get that Egypt out of them. There may be some of you who have some Egypt in you. So how do we get the Egypt out of us? We lay down our bricks. We take a deep breath and remind ourselves that there's a God and I'm not him. We lay down those bricks. We put them aside for one day to breathe in and to breathe out and to remind ourselves that we are human beings and not human doings. We remind ourselves that we are not what we produce, and we remind ourselves that there's a God and I'm not him. Thank you guys so much for listening today. I'm super honored to be with you. In our next episode, we're going to continue on with these Sabbath talks, maybe give you some practical steps on how you can apply Sabbath in your life and what it can look like for you. Oftentimes we ask questions, can I do this or can I do this or should I do this? And I think we ask ourselves the wrong question. I think we filter it through the lens of, is it rest and is it worship? And so next episode, we'll talk more about that. Thank you guys. We'll catch up soon.
Thanks for tuning in. If you enjoyed the podcast, be sure to rate it and subscribe to stay up to date with new episodes. If you would like more info on our men's conference, please visit menssummit.com. Until next time, have a blessed day.